Okay, I think what we'll do is have those that have agreed to share. If you could all just come forward and sit here on this front row. Sit by order of age. So youngest here, oldest there. Come on forward. One of them guys can run your computer back there, I suppose. Youngest on this end, so. And I wasn't sure how this would... this is perfect. Okay. Now, if George was here, he would be in there somewhere. But he texted me, said he's not going to make it. So, anyway, late September, a hurricane comes steaming ashore in Florida. Hurricane Helene, and it went plowing its way very quickly up through Florida. What's north of Florida? Georgia, I think. I think Georgia's next, then South Carolina, then North Carolina, and I think it hit Tennessee some. And lots of wind and lots of rain and lots of flooding, especially the further north areas where it was mountainy. So, Trevor, I think you were the first one. You headed out, within a few days, and you were in mostly North Carolina or all North Carolina? All North Carolina. By what I heard, it was mostly flooding there. About the time you got back, 2 weeks later, some of the rest of us headed out. So it was the four young men here and myself, those of us with wives left them at home or left them somewhere, and Becky and George and Tirsa and Josie. They were along as well. So 10 of us left, and we joined up with a group of other people in Georgia. We had a good time. I've been on these projects before. They are very interesting. It's not play mostly anyway. It's mostly work. It's mostly hard work. Sometimes can get pretty muggy and dirty. And this time it really wasn't that muggy, but it was dirty, but it was very pleasant weather. It was like nicer than here. I'll just say it that way. We had beautiful weather in Georgia. And so it was, but getting to know people from other the thing we had in common with these people, mostly they were Anabaptist people, as far as I know. But the thing we had in common, we were there to help people. We were there to help people in need. And as we go around there from house to house, people had trees down in their yard and their across their roofs, across their driveways. Some people were stranded. They couldn't get these trees, there's no way to get out because nice long driveway, beautiful places, some of these, in good times. But when bad times hit, they're penned in, and there was, especially these older couples, and you say, well, just call for help. No way to call because there's the cell tower is down. Well, what about just relax, turn on the heat and just enjoy yourself for a few days? Well, you can't do that either because no heat because the power's off. And there's plenty of firewood, but no way to cut it. It's big trees. And that's what the kind of people we were helping. And, sometimes you have time to talk to them, pray with them, and so forth. That was in Georgia. We'll hear a little bit later about Trevor and his time in North Carolina. So I asked these young men just to give reports on their time, one thing that they learned. Maybe there'll be more than one thing, but maybe we'll just do that in order of age, starting with Jonathan here. And we'll just go down the list. And, with only five of you, I think there should be plenty of time. Abe, you were on for Bible study. I guess, is it okay to just kind of play it by ear, see how much time we have, and if we get to the end of the service and we have 5 minutes, I guess it's up to you if you want to just read the verses, if we have 20 minutes and we can actually have a little bit of a Bible study with discussion, we're not sure how this will go, but we'll start and we'll find out. So God bless you as you share, and as soon as Jonathan's done, we'll just go up, Stephen, and on down the line. So thank you.
Good morning. I really enjoyed my time in Georgia, working with Cam in the tree cleanup, mostly. From the hurricane, a lot of downed trees in the yards and houses, so not much flooding where I was. So we'd come in with chainsaws and skid steers and take out tons of trees that people could have never dealt with on their own. And, it seemed like it really blessed them. So Roger asked me to speak on what I learned down there on my trip in Georgia. And in one of the devotions, somebody said, people have a need to give. And even though maybe we have a full cooler full of water or something like that, and they come, we're doing something for them, and they feel like they need to do something for us. They might bring out some water, and we should just take it for their sake, to make them feel like they're doing something for you. As the week went by, I realized how true that was, because people would bring out water or different things for me, and if I wouldn't take it, they'd feel like they had to think of something else to do. But if we just took it, they would feel like they had done their duty or part. One person just gave us, he had a big yard, lots of trees down, and we did it. And I think it was actually the son of the family gave us, he came in and he gave us like packets of peanuts, he gave us Gatorades, and then he comes in and later he buys us, the next day he comes to the job and buys us lunch. He just really wanted to return the favor. Another person, I was really thirsty this time, so I wasn't accepting it for his sake, but for some reason, we didn't have a cooler for the crew I was working on, and I was starting to get thirsty, and so I asked our crew boss, hey, can you go get us a cooler, because he was going by there. And while he was gone, the guy comes out with some water, a little lunchbox full of water, and I thought, I'll just wait till, this was before I heard, you know, accept it for them, so I was like, I'll just wait till the crew boss gets back and see if I can just drink our own water. And I asked him later, so he came and I asked him, hey, did you get me some water? Oh, no, I forgot. Oh, no worries, this guy brought me out some water, I'll just go drink his water. Later we might have our own cooler, but people would bring us out stuff and we'd drink the water for their sake, so that they would feel like they were doing their part. So yeah, I really enjoyed my time there. I would recommend it for anybody. I had a good time. Yeah, thank you.
Good morning. John said, it was a blast, a lot of fun. Really good, I enjoyed it a lot, and I think it would be good for everyone to go experience the working with other people, the teamwork, and the satisfaction of finishing a job, making it, you come in and then you leave and it looks way better than when you came. But yeah, the homeowners were always grateful, thankful for what we did, dependent on the homeowner, but they were, even if it wasn't much, there's this one lady we did some cleanup for, and we just, it wasn't even that much. Maybe 2 hours or something, but of work. But yeah, when we were getting ready to leave, packing everything up, she came out and her husband was there, and just like started singing a solo and southern accent, which we were like not sure what to do. We were like cleaning up, and she just kept singing. It was like kind of, you could tell she was. They were trying to return the blessing, but. There's this one job we did. It was probably our biggest job. It was like back this lane, and the house back this lane is surrounded by trees. And yeah, there was trees falling all over. Yeah, and she had, her husband died from COVID a couple years back, and she just felt hopeless and didn't know how to, she was going to handle how to clean it all up. But then, yeah, Cam came, and I'm not sure if she heard by word of mouth or what, but yeah, they, so when we got in there, yeah, there was a mess. There was the group of Old Order Amish, they came in with chainsaws, they brought chainsaws, and yeah, we went pretty fast, but I don't know, that took like a little over a day, maybe, to do that job. But once the skids here got stuck there, so that delayed us some. But there's this one tree, I remember, that the tree, the limb up here, like falling up, but still hanging on. So Aiden with the skids here would go up and try to grab onto the branches and try to pull it out. He would grab on, rev way up, and then try to get out of there as fast as he could so the limb wouldn't fall on him. But usually he didn't have grip, so he'd do nothing, and then go back up and grab it and rev it. But then finally we got a chain, I think, and pulled it out. But yeah, that was quite the job. But yeah, I learned, I mean, it's when you're working to give versus working to get, like how we do an everyday job, it's a whole lot different. You feel more joyful or satisfied. I mean, especially when you're working with a team or with other people. And yeah, it just, and you're a blessing to the people who you do it for. And it wasn't specifically any person who helped. It didn't have to, I mean, it wasn't just the poor or broken down houses. I mean, that community was a lot of black people, but it was, we helped anyone who heard, a lot of people heard, but it was word of mouth. They seemed like people knew a lot of people around there. And so there was, yeah, a lot of jobs where it would just be that people come to CAM, and once you got the ball rolling, then yeah, people, just more and more jobs would come. But it was really good to go. And yeah, just when you're there, the whole community, trees down everywhere, it just realizes you that, for thankful that we don't, for where we live and all the, that our houses, that we didn't have to deal with that. Just don't take things for granted. It seems like a lot of us do for a lot of the time for what we have. But there was trees that fell on some houses, but it was amazing how many trees barely missed or just hit the corner or the, yeah, it was amazing how many, I mean, there were trees that landed on the houses, but for how many trees that went down, there, yeah, it was amazing how many, for the wind was all going one direction. There's some times where trees were right over and just like, that didn't make any sense why they didn't fall, and the trees around them fell. So yeah, really, yeah, God was protecting a lot of those people who were at their house. And but yeah, I advise, like John said, if some people have a chance to go, I would for sure want to go again. Hope to go again sometime, wherever, whenever that might be, and keep learning what God wants me to learn wherever I go. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared that we should walk in them. And whatever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that the Lord you shall receive the reward of inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." Thank you.
Good morning. So a verse I wanted to read here, Hebrews 13:16, "But do good and communicate, forget not, and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." Another version says, "to do good and to share with others." That might be more fitting in this situation. So thank you, New International. I enjoyed my time there. It was kind of a last minute decision. I was like, first my diet, you know, probably just a no go, and then I'm married. But then I thought, I remember my initial thought process. I began to realize this is a very selfish reason why not to go and sacrifice time away from my wife and time away from work, making money, like what Stephen said, working for a paycheck. So there was really nothing holding me back, so I jumped in last minute, and I am glad I went. I think it was good. It was good for me. It's probably good for my wife, and I dropped her off at her parents' house. So I think this is the longest time we've ever spent apart. It's probably good for us, I suppose. Maybe not. Okay. So a couple things that I appreciated about being there. I touched on volunteering time, absence from work. But what was neat is that there was so many different varieties of Christian groups that were there, and we were united under one ministry, serving for free on a volunteer basis. We were all asked to wear a blue safety vest to help us be unified together, and so that was really neat to be part of a team. Had some really neat conversations with some old order Mennonite people, and really have a heart for the Lord. So that was a blessing. It was neat to go in and help clean up properties of these people who were for the most part helpless with these big trees that had fallen. And we weren't doing it for any compensation or anything. It was neat. The day before we heard that devotion about taking something when someone offers, a guy had offered, he said, "Hey, we put together a cooler on that front porch over there." It's like the neighbor of the house that we were cleaning. So feel free to go over there. So me and the crew that I was with, we made our way over there. And there was water and Coca-Colas, so that was a blessing, because in Cam's cooler there was only Gatorade and water, so that was a treat. A couple verses that also came to mind, in Acts it talks about it's more blessed to give than to receive. Such joy in giving of yourself like that. You just get more and more sore towards the end of the week, but it's a good kind of sore. Galatians talks about bearing one another's burdens. And then Jeremy's verse today, I was going to share that one. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Just a really neat opportunity. I think I'd probably recommend it for a lot of you guys here. I had a really enjoyable crew most of the days, so that was fun too. Thank you.
Well, good morning, everyone. So, like it was said earlier, or by several of the other guys, giving and expecting nothing in return. There's something about that that is just so enjoyable, especially if they're people in need, which most of these people were. To me, that was probably the most enjoyable part, and seeing them being so grateful for the work we did and wanting to help out. There's this one lady that we went and cleaned up for. She offered us drinks, and then she comes out later and she's got tears running down her face, and she's wanting the number of the pastor that stopped and offered to clean up her place. And And she said she's got to have the number. She's gonna donate so she can be a part in helping others get their yards cleaned up. And if there's ever a disaster in the future, she said that's the only way she knows how to help with that. And so, yeah, God, you know, giving of yourself and expecting nothing in return, I think God rewards us in probably a better way than what we would have thought best, you know, in a way like that. You know, she felt blessed and then felt led to give of herself to help others. So I thought that was encouraging. And a lot of times it didn't seem like we did much for helping them clean up, but it was something that to them, I had to put myself in their shoes, going through all the trauma and hearing their stories, and it just helped me to understand what they went through and think, boy, you know, just after going through all that and hearing what the storm going over must have sounded like, a lot of them said it sounded like 10 freight trains running over the top of their house, and being inside, not knowing if you were going to make it through alive or not, and then a couple weeks later, having someone come by and offer to help clean up the mess that you weren't sure you would be able to get off. And I talked to one older man that said he had tried to get some of the trees off of his house, and he decided to get a quote from a tree service to see what it would cost to get them to remove it. And he's for two trees, it was anywhere from $7,000 to $12,000. And he said it just blessed him exponentially that we would just do it for free and ask nothing in return. And anyway, so that was a blessing and encouraging to hear other people talk about our group of people in that way, that we're giving people, we're servants, and if Jesus was on this earth, they would envision Jesus being like us. So that was, to me, was being able to serve people and having them respond in that way was very, very encouraging. And one of the first jobs we went to, came across this old lady that, once she figured out who I was, found out my last name, and it was her maiden name before she'd gotten married, and she suddenly thought she found a long-lost relative or something. And anyways, spent the next probably 2 or 3 hours talking with her, and she was all excited and hoping that she's going to do some research and stuff, and she's just hoping that hoping she found a relative. And she's like, oh, what a story this would make, you know, some old relative came down and helped clean up my yard. And so anyways, that was probably the most interesting day of the whole week. Yeah, and another thing, maybe didn't have anything to do with cleaning up, but meeting new friends. Made several new friends during the week, and I don't know, I personally find it easier to make friends while working with them versus over coffee. And I don't know, you get to see a different side of them, see them in a stress point. And anyways, it's gotten into some good discussions and stuff. And there was this one individual that we were coming back from a job, and he just started talking about his some failures in his life and addictions. And I'd kind of wondered, just from seeing him before and working with him a bit, it seemed like maybe self-discipline wasn't exactly a strong point in his life. And I never intended on asking him or talking to him about any of these things, but then one time we were driving back to base, and he just started sharing some things and giving me some admonition. Don't get into this, don't get into that, because it'll grab a hold of you and you won't be able to let it go. And music was among some of those things. And I had been listening to a book on self-discipline, and kind of wondering, you know, where I was personally in that area. And then I feel like in some ways this young man was a godsend, because it kind of seemed to give me a mental picture and then get to hear a testimony of it in real life. And anyways, that didn't really have a lot to do with CAM or cleaning up or helping others, but it was something I maybe didn't learn, but it set more firmly for me in my life that self-discipline is something that's extremely important in our lives to keep us from entering in, yielding to temptation, and it takes self-discipline to break bad habits. Anyways, that was probably the most, the biggest thing I learned there. Anyways, there's a few verses that kept going through my mind as we were helping clean up there. It's not the right one. The golden rule, so in Matthew 7:12, it says, "So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." I'd been thinking a lot about, you know, after Amos's death and the amount of help and all the people that pitched in to help with all the logistics of the funeral and all of those things, and even afterwards, just the encouragement. And I very much felt like that week spent there was maybe not a way to return to those that gave to us and my family over that time, but just the feeling, like others had said before, the feeling of the need to give. And in my life since that time, is just there's been this feeling inside me that it built up, you know, just the need to give to others. Because it felt like so many people had given to me and into my life, and the need to give. And it very much satisfied that. I mean, maybe not completely, but helped to satisfy that, being able to give to others in need. And just made it all the more enjoyable to be a part of people's lives in that way and be able to give like that. I lost my other place here. And also the talents. I got thinking, you know, everyone helping out and using the skills they had there to the best of their abilities. There's different levels of skills, and some people, only thing they really knew how to do was drag branches, and that was, or rake a yard, and that was extremely helpful, and it might have seemed like not such a worthy job, and might have seen people that were doing it, I thought, well, if I could be a lot more helpful if I could run a skid loader or a chainsaw. But from a perspective of somebody that did run skid loader and chainsaw for part of the time, having those people was extremely helpful. And so, yeah, everyone that, if you don't have great talents or you feel like you don't have great talents, helping on a job like that, serving others with what you do have is extremely valuable. So, thank you.
Good morning. I guess for my time down there, obviously I wasn't with any of these guys. I was in North Carolina. I got the call on a Sunday morning. Was on in the air Sunday night already. And landed in Louisville, Kentucky, 10 o'clock Monday morning, and it was a crew from Flat Rock, Illinois that was picking me up, and we were going to go to Spruce Pine, and we were putting it in GPS, and we got the call saying, no, you need to go to Black Mountain, right? And it's much worse. And so we're all getting excited. I was with some KOT and T3 grads, which KOT is pretty much like T3. And so we're getting all excited. We're going to get to do search and rescue and find all the dead bodies. And we were getting all excited about it. And we roll in down there, Monday night about 9 o'clock, and the ones I flew, so I didn't take a tent, so I got to sleep in the RV. But these other, the other ones are setting their tents up in a gravel parking lot, and we realized really quick that it wasn't going to be what we thought it was. Tuesday morning, we have to move base right away. And then we just drive around, mostly in town, doing wellness checks, just making sure people are all right. And we're driving around in town. The roads are open. It's nothing exciting. But Tuesday afternoon, we realized we are not going to be doing search and rescue. We are going to be doing tree trimming, cleaning up trees, and mucking out. And that's not why any of us were there. And so we had to quickly, I don't know what word to use, but examine our motives and figure out what we were going to do. And we had a bunch of volunteers coming in on Wednesday, but they were going to go to the other base first at that point. And so we were kind of feeling down. We were kind of the leftovers down there. And things were not very well. And at that point, two of us guys decided to stay an extra week. And so Tim, he took operations, and I took logistics at that point. And I don't know, that kind of seemed to be, I'm going to say, a turning point maybe for me a little bit of my attitude and why I was there. Because as after I took that, and I would drive around, talk to different churches, talk to homeowners, food distribution, just contacts with the community and what they seen. A lot of times, especially for the homeowners, I was the first one of PCCR or Upward Way or Kingdom Channels, whoever, that they would meet. And what are the question I ask myself over and over and over is, what are they seeing? Are they seeing somebody with a bad attitude? Are they seeing somebody here that's willing to help? And as time went on, even when it didn't seem like there was any work and we're going to have more volunteers than we know what to do with, am I letting the people that I'm there to help see that? And I just had to remind myself, not only am I the face of the organization in a lot of ways when I'm out there talking to that homeowner, I'm also the face of Christ. And just time and time again, things are tough. The work isn't there. But are people still seeing Christ in me as I was out there day after day looking for that work? And part of the reason work was so hard to find there was we were in the mountains in very close communities, very close communities. They can do it, very self-sufficient. Government was, they had no time for the government. You did not want to start politics conversation down there because it was not going to go well. I mean, it was, yeah, they just, and it was just, yeah, it was a very close community. And just to try to work with that, one of the highlights for me, there was two things that's, besides being, yeah, the face of Christ or the face of the organization, there's two other things that really stuck out to me. Is I got to talk to a guy that got swept away in the floodwaters when he went to check on his motorcycle that was probably underwater at that point. I'm not sure how he thought he was going to get there, but just to hear his story, it was very interesting. Just to listen to him talk and tell of his ride down the stream. Then he hung in a tree till somebody came by after the water went down. So the water there went up and down in approximately about 3 hours. And then the last, I flew back home on a Sunday. So it was Saturday. It was my last day out looking for work. Was going to go into a new area. One of the other guys had been there. But we had this job that we had heard of, this place that needed help. So I wanted to go talk to the guy. So I pulled up there and road's kind of blocked off, so I got out, I walked, and neighbor was leaving. Stopped, talked to her for a while, and ended up getting that job. I went down to talk to the other guy, Scotty, and he had a bunch of people helping him. He's like, you need to go talk to, I think it was John. So I went over there, and I ended up spending about 2 to 3 hours over at John's place talking to him and got some of his work. I'm not sure how much they did for him then, because he had a whole bunch of rental houses there that were going to end up needing demolished, and he had a couple houses that needed mucked out. Just, yeah, had a good time visiting with him, looking at his old cars that he had that were flooded out now in his house, yeah, different of his houses. Just talked to him for a while, and I went back over to Scotty and talked to Scotty for a while, and that's when I learned that John doesn't talk to anybody, nobody. John doesn't have friends. You never see people over there. And the only person that he really ever communicates with is Scotty. And it just, I don't know, it was just a highlight of being able to go into, to go over there to somebody that doesn't have friends, and to just be a friend. And yeah, the organization went in later, and I'm not sure how much work they did for him then, but just to be able to help those kind of people out, was probably my highlight, partly because it came right on the, came right at the tail end, but it also came after the day before when we were struggling to find work and we had 90 volunteers that day. And we couldn't find work. What are we going to do next week? And to be able to, yeah, that doesn't matter. We're not there to, we're there to help, but that's not our main purpose. Our main purpose is to take time for the people. And if these guys have to sit tomorrow because I spent 3 hours with John, I fulfilled my purpose of why I was there. I was the light. I was the face. As long as I was showing Christ through me of who John needed or who the community needed there. And that was that. I said that's the, it's probably not the only thing I learned, but it was probably one of the big, that was probably the biggest thing I learned, just being that face. But the other thought that came to me is not only were we the face of Christ down there, we're the face of Christ here, wherever we go, whether it's at work, whether it's at home, whatever we do, that goes with us everywhere. And it's easy to be that and do that when you're there helping. But it's a lot more difficult to be that when you're actually at home doing your day-to-day stuff and just like, well, whatever, you know, it doesn't really matter. It's a lot more difficult, and it's actually where the rubber meets the road. So, yeah, that was a little tidbit of what I learned, a little bit of, yeah, the thought that I had. But verse that comes to mind is 1 Corinthians 2:1, "And I, brethren, when I come to you, came not with excellence of speech nor of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." And am I declaring the testimony of God wherever I go?